Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szöveg értése középszint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on this CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The tasks will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD, in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After another short silent period, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections and with breaks between the sections in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is exactly 30 minutes long. Good luck. Task 1. In this section, you will hear a true story about two very unusual children. Your task is to decide whether the following statements are true, false, or we do not know because the text does not say, and write the appropriate letter in the boxes on the right. Write A if the statement is true. Write B if the statement is false. And write C if the text does not say. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again. But this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to make your decision about the answers. A means true, B means false, and C means the text does not say. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
Pain without love, pain. I can't get enough pain.
Mr. and Mrs. Waters have two children. Their son, Paul, is 2 years old, and their daughter, Victoria, is 6 months old. Paul and Victoria are like most other children. But in one way, they are very unusual. They almost never cry. Paul Waters is like most two-year-olds. He runs and plays, and sometimes he gets hurt. But Paul doesn't know that he is hurt because he doesn't feel pain. He falls in the park and hurts his knee, but he gets up and continues running. He picks up a knife in the kitchen and cuts his hand, but he doesn't stop playing with the knife. His parents have to watch him every minute. Often they have to tell him, "Paul, stop playing. You're hurt." Mr. and Mrs. Waters learned that Paul didn't feel pain when he was 6 months old. He had stomach problems, so his mother took him to the doctor. The doctor was afraid to touch Paul's stomach. "If I touch the baby's stomach, it will really hurt him," the doctor said. "I don't think so," Mrs. Walters said. "Paul almost never cries." The doctor touched the baby's stomach and was surprised to see that Paul's mother was right. The baby didn't cry. Later, When Paul was well, doctors did several tests. In one test, they put 60 small needles in Paul's neck, but Paul didn't cry. He didn't feel any pain. 2 years later, Mrs. Waters had a baby girl. Will this baby have the same problem? Mrs. Waters asked the doctors. No, the doctors answered. Paul's problem is very, very rare. Only 4 or 5 people in the world don't feel pain. Your daughter will probably be fine. The Waters named their daughter Victoria. Soon they suspected that Victoria, like Paul, didn't feel pain. She cried only when she was hungry. She never cried when she was hurt. Sometimes, for example, Paul hurt her. Paul was like many big brothers. He was jealous of his baby sister. Sometimes he hit the baby's arm or hit her in the stomach. The baby just looked at Paul and smiled. Mr. and Mrs. Waters were worried. They took Victoria to the hospital for tests. After the tests, the doctors told them, Victoria doesn't feel pain either. Sometimes people tell Mr. and Mrs. Waters, your children don't cry? That's unusual. Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Waters say, we have very unusual children.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Pain, without love, pain, I can't get enough pain.
Mr. and Mrs. Waters have 2 children. Their son, Paul, is 2 years old, and their daughter, Victoria, is 6 months old. Paul and Victoria are like most other children. But in one way, they are very unusual. They almost never cry. Paul Waters is like most 2-year-olds. He runs and plays, and sometimes he gets hurt. But Paul doesn't know that he is hurt because he doesn't feel pain. He falls in the park and hurts his knee, but he gets up and continues running. He picks up a knife in the kitchen and cuts his hand, but he doesn't stop playing with the knife. His parents have to watch him every minute. Often they have to tell him, Paul, stop playing. You're hurt. Mr. and Mrs. Waters learned that Paul didn't feel pain when he was 6 months old. He had stomach problems, so his mother took him to the doctor. The doctor was afraid to touch Paul's stomach. If I touch the baby's stomach, it will really hurt him, the doctor said. I don't think so, Mrs. Walters said. Paul almost never cries. The doctor touched the baby's stomach and was surprised to see that Paul's mother was right. The baby didn't cry. Later, when Paul was well, doctors did several tests. In one test, they put 60 small needles in Paul's neck, but Paul didn't cry. He didn't feel any pain. Two years later, Mrs. Waters had a baby girl. Will this baby have the same problem? Mrs. Waters asked the doctors. No, the doctors answered. Paul's problem is very, very rare. Only 4 or 5 people in the world don't feel pain. Your daughter will probably be fine. The Waters named their daughter Victoria. Soon they suspected that Victoria, like Paul, didn't feel pain. She cried only when she was hungry. She never cried when she was hurt. Sometimes, for example, Paul hurt her. Paul was like many big brothers. He was jealous of his baby sister. Sometimes he hit the baby's arm or hit her in the stomach. The baby just looked at Paul and smiled. Mr. and Mrs. Waters were worried. They took Victoria to the hospital for tests. After the tests, the doctors told them, Victoria doesn't feel pain either. Sometimes people tell Mr. and Mrs. Waters, your children don't cry? That's unusual. Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Waters say, we have very unusual children.
like it rough, cause I'd rather feel pain than
that is the end of task one. Task two. In this section, you are going to hear a strange but true story about a cat called Dusty. Your task is to give short answers to the questions below. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again. But this time, we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
What shall we do with the catnip kitty? What shall we do with the catnip kitty? What shall we do with the catnip kitty? Her lie in the morning. Away he pounces. Away he pounces. Away he pounces.
San Francisco, California. A cat burglar is on the loose in San Mateo, California. Yeah, he is so hardworking and also so hard to catch that the guy makes the others look like amateurs. But ABC's Vic Lee caught up with him today.
Meet Dusty. By day, he's an ordinary house pet, but when the sun goes down, it's time for him to hit the streets, and he becomes a cat burglar.
So she always steals stuff.
Neighbors like 5-year-old Ethan McLeland know him by his nickname, Klepto the Cat.
Well, she took my mom's swimming clothes.
Neighbors try to do their best to protect their belongings, but Dusty is very skillful and steals whatever comes his way. In spite of this, his victims don't intend to file a police report.
No, we haven't, because we know where to go.
They go to Dusty's owners, Jean Chu and Jim Coleman's house, as Dusty belongs to them, who adopted the cat from an animal shelter back in 2006. His first 2 years of life were uneventful, but in 2008, his owners began to notice household objects that did not belong to them appearing in strange places, and they began to suspect that their cat was bringing them home. In the past 3 years, they figure he's stolen about 600 items, and he is not choosy. He'll take anything that's not locked down.
Towels, gloves, shoes, socks, little toys, children's toys.
Underwear, balls, well, practically anything you can think of. His favorite items are socks. He has stolen 73 of them so far, but he also likes bathing suits drying outside. Earlier this summer, he also stole one from Kelly McLeland. First, he took the bikini bottom.
And then came back about 10 minutes later and took the top home. So, we know him very well.
Dusty's modus operandi, his stealing technique, is always the same. He leaves at night and returns with his loot in the early morning. The TV network Animal Planet recently installed a camera outside Jean and Jim Coleman's house. It captured his nightly expeditions for a week. Chu says Dusty's record take for one night is pretty amazing. One night, how many?
11 different things.
It's getting dark now. The question is, which house will Dusty hit? It's a perfect night for a robbery.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
What shall we do with the catnip kitty? What shall we do with the catnip kitty? What shall we do with the catnip kitty? Her lie in the morning. Away he pounces. Away he pounces. Away he pounces.
San Francisco, California. A cat burglar is on the loose in San Mateo, California. Yeah, he is so hardworking and also so hard to catch that the guy makes the others look like amateurs. But ABC's Vic Lee caught up with him today.
Meet Dusty. By day, he's an ordinary house pet, but when the sun goes down, it's time for him to hit the streets, and he becomes a cat burglar.
So she always steals stuff.
Neighbors, like 5-year-old Ethan McLeland, know him by his nickname, Klepto the Cat.
Well, she took my mom's swimming clothes.
Neighbors try to do their best to protect their belongings, but Dusty is very skillful and steals whatever comes his way. In spite of this, his victims don't intend to file a police report.
No, we haven't, because we know where to go.
They go to Dusty's owners, Gene Chu and Jim Coleman's house, as Dusty belongs to them, who adopted the cat from an animal shelter back in 2006. His first 2 years of life were uneventful, but in 2008, his owners began to notice household objects that did not belong to them appearing in strange places, and they began to suspect that their cat was bringing them home. In the past 3 years, they figure he's stolen about 600 items, and he is not choosy. He'll take anything that's not locked down.
Towels, gloves, shoes, socks, little toys, children's toys.
Underwear, balls, well, practically anything you can think of. His favorite items are socks. He has stolen 73 of them so far. But he also likes bathing suits drying outside. Earlier this summer, he also stole one from Kelly McLeland. First, he took the bikini bottom.
And then came back about 10 minutes later and took the top home. So, we know him very well.
Dusty's modus operandi, his stealing technique, is always the same. He leaves at night and returns with his loot in the early morning. The TV network Animal Planet recently installed a camera outside Gene and Jim Coleman's house. It captured his nightly expeditions for a week. Chu says Dusty's record take for one night is pretty amazing. One night, how many?
11 different things.
It's getting dark now. The question is, which house will Dusty hit? It's a perfect night for a robbery.
Away he pounces. Away he pounces. That is the end of Task 2. Task 3. In this section, you are going to hear an interesting news item about a man who commutes to London from Barcelona. Your task is to circle the letters of the correct answers in the boxes on the right. Please note that in this task, both answers may be correct.
However, there is always at least one correct answer. This means you will have to circle one or two letters. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to make your decision about the answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
Barcelona! Barcelona!
Two years ago, London resident Sam Cookney was fed up with the rents in his city. So he had an amusing idea. What if he commuted from Barcelona? The 32-year-old social media manager wrote a humorous blog post about the not-so-crazy idea back in October 2013. He said, "I think many people thought I was joking when I boldly declared it would be cheaper for me to rent a two-bed flat in Barcelona and commute to London every day than get a one-bed flat here. Turns out I was. I could, in fact, get a three-bed flat. And because he lives in Europe, home of super-cheap flights, Cookney figured he could get from Barcelona to London Stansted Airport for about €34 a day, plus another 33 for travel to the airport and office. He wrote that he would even have time to grab a coffee and a breakfast sandwich before getting to work, and would still have €387 a month to spare. 3 months ago, he decided to put his joking plan into action and actually commute from Spain. Cookney said the final straw was when he was still sharing a flat in London and knew that he could afford a two- or three-bedroom place to himself in Barcelona. Now he's living alone in a newly renovated two-bedroom flat with a roof terrace that costs €800 a month. It's located in the centre of Barcelona's historic Gothic Quarter, which allows him to walk everywhere. "I am very much finding it worth it," he told BuzzFeed News, "both in terms of a significantly improved lifestyle in pretty much all regards, and also because I'm actually saving money. The most unpredictable factor he's encountered has been prices for flights, which he said can vary quite a bit. Though he claims to be saving money, the move probably isn't for everyone." Cookney said his trip door-to-door takes about 5.5 hours. "The commute actually isn't all that bad. I have a little nap on the plane or a gin and tonic on the way back, like tonight. So far," he said, "there have been no downsides. I miss occasional parties in London, which is annoying, but so far the whole thing has worked out remarkably smooth and seamless."
Viva!
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Barcelona! Barcelona!
Two years ago, London resident Sam Cookney was fed up with the rents in his city. So he had an amusing idea. What if he commuted from Barcelona? The 32-year-old social media manager wrote a humorous blog post about the not-so-crazy idea back in October 2013. He said, "I think many people thought I was joking when I boldly declared it would be cheaper for me to rent a 2-bed flat in Barcelona and commute to London every day than get a 1-bed flat here. Turns out I was. I could, in fact, get a 3-bed flat." And because he lives in Europe, home of super cheap flights, Cookney figured he could get from Barcelona to London Stansted Airport for about €34 a day, plus another 33 for travel to the airport and office. He wrote that he would even have time to grab a coffee and a breakfast sandwich before getting to work, and would still have €387 a month to spare. 3 months ago, he decided to put his joking plan into action and actually commute from Spain. Cookney said the final straw was when he was still sharing a flat in London and knew that he could afford a 2- or 3-bedroom place to himself in Barcelona. Now, he's living alone in a newly renovated 2-bedroom flat with a roof terrace that costs €800 a month. It's located in the centre of Barcelona's historic Gothic Quarter, which allows him to walk everywhere. "I am very much finding it worth it," he told BuzzFeed News, "both in terms of a significantly improved lifestyle in pretty much all regards, and also because I'm actually saving money. The most unpredictable factor he's encountered has been prices for flights, which he said can vary quite a bit. Though he claims to be saving money, the move probably isn't for everyone." Cookney said his trip, door-to-door, takes about 5.5 hours. "The commute actually isn't all that bad. I have a little nap on the plane or a gin and tonic on the way back, like tonight. So far," he said, "there have been no downsides. I miss occasional parties in London, which is annoying, but so far, the whole thing has worked out remarkably smooth and seamless."
Viva! Barcelona!
That is the end of Task 3, and also the end of the listening exam.